Welcome in to DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I am your host, David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello!
What's going on, man?
None.
So, this is our episode review. This is our review for Gotham 205. What did we settle on? Is it called Scarification or Scarification?
I'm guessing Scarification, because Scarification, in my mind, should have two R's if you're going to make that the word. But we still can't quite figure out why it's Scarification.
I don't know.
Verification that Bridget's scared of fire?
I really don't know.
Clarification that the ratings are getting scary.
They're losing a lot of people, man.
I think people are just busy. I don't know. There's still plenty for a lot of networks. It's actually a little scary on Fox. What'd you say the last episode got? 4.19?
Yeah, 4.19 million.
Does that sound like a lot of people? But it's not.
Yeah, it's when you jump back and consider that. Like, I mean, first of all, that number does not include the DVR ratings,
right?
Because those haven't come through yet, but when you're talking about like actual like first run on television, even at the beginning of this year, I think it was like 7.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they had steadily like a six, seven area.
Yeah, they steadily had 10 at the beginning of last season. So
yeah,
I mean, it's going downhill. As far as ratings are concerned,
it's not a let's freak out kind of number yet. But people are very big on retention because. Yeah, I mean, you have to have it. You just do. And that's being a bit worrisome right now.
A little bit. Now, you want to talk about this episode?
No, I was just going to talk about the ratings and in the show. We good here? Good episode. All right, cool, man.
I'm going on break.
Right.
I'm
going to start smoking just so I can take a break.
So, Penguin. Poor little Penguin.
I know.
He just wants his mommy back.
I know. And Theo's just toying with him. It was actually kind of... I felt really bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
poor Theo.
I told her I was going to have to bring this up. My girlfriend Bethany, she had forgotten who Bundeslaw is.
Oh, the mayor?
The dude that was in the trunk?
Yeah.
No, the dude that was in the trunk.
Oh. Oh.
Because they had the little flashback. They're like, oh, he's the guy that cleans up. They did the thing where he's talking about, you're the guy that takes out the trash for Wayne.
Yeah.
Enterprises.
Yeah.
But she had forgotten that he was in the show before, and he was actually just like, it was a metaphor. Mm-hmm. So she just thought that, like, Gallivan was torturing this poor janitor.
Yeah. Until you said that, I actually had forgotten where he was. I paved right over that. But yeah, he was the guy that catches Bruce near the safe, right?
Yeah, yeah. And she was like, that poor janitor. And I was like, what janitor? She was like, the dude with the eye. I was like, no, that was the jackass that was like threatening Bruce last year.
Right.
She was like, oh. I'm like, yeah, that was the trash thing. The trash man was a metaphor. Whatever.
Right.
I thought it was funny. But they did. That's not on her. They did a terrible job of reminding us who the hell that was.
Yeah.
I guess
they just thought that we would know, but we didn't.
No. We've seen him exactly one episode.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And what is it with pulling people's eyes out?
Hey, you need it to get in the safe.
No, you don't.
Yeah, just do. What, are you going to take his head off instead? Just carry the whole package around?
What's in the box?
It's not as convenient to just stash away an eyeball. Although, they're you know, she's crawling around in vents. Like, man, there's no way that eyeball's still intact.
No.
But whatever. You know, as soon as you start to feel bad for Penguin, though, and you do when you're watching Theo just toy with him, right? But and then about 5 minutes later, he receives bad news and just, I don't think his poor little lackey's ever going to be the same again. He just got beaten with the business end of a fire poker.
Yeah, that poor dude, poor bastard.
Like, it looked like he had a very serious concussion at the least.
Yeah, Penguin's just like, did you enjoy giving me that news? whack, 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 whack.
Yeah, seriously. At this point, if I'm in his organization, I'm just going to tell Butch everything and run.
Right?
Just, Butch, some stuff got stolen, Butch, bye. I just literally phone it in. Just call Butch.
Yeah. Chickless, a damn rocket launcher?
Yeah.
Welcome to Gotham.
Yeah.
I was pleased with that.
I was too.
That made me laugh. I love that Gordon doesn't actually want to be trapped at Lee's place with Ed and Kristen.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I really don't. They're odd. They're odd folk. And how was he? How was he going to know that suddenly, Enigma's taking a turn for the cool?
And he has.
He's taking a damn fine turn for the cool. He's actually a lot more fun this way.
Right now, I'm just waiting for the worm to turn because right now he's just really annoying. He reminds me. He could have very well been. The male part of that team in Arrow that was hanging out with Elicity in the suburbs.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he's
oh yeah, like they're feeding each other. Ugh.
Yeah,
I hate those people. I hate those people.
Yeah, it sure it's sappy, but
be unhappy like the rest of us.
How dare you? Experience joy in front of Dave. How were you thinking?
That's right. I don't like the joy to be shown in front of me. Anyway.
I was just more worried about the fondue. It didn't look appealing.
Just made me hungry.
I understand.
So, I kind of love that Galavan wants Gordon's endorsement.
That was good. Oh, the rocket launcher scene. Better than Rocket Launcher and Welcome to Gotham. No one gets pants! Love no one gets pants.
That was awesome. He's actually kind of fun.
That made me laugh. It was a nice ploy. First guy who tells me where that is gets his pants back. Gordon comes over, tells him, "Screw that, we don't need them. No one gets pants." All right, great.
Yeah.
They keep going with Barnes like this. I might actually like Michael Chiklis at the end of the whole thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Here's something I hated though. The Merc, some big old Costco for criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't care for that one bit.
I don't know. I could deal with that. In Gotham, I could deal with that.
That was a big cartoon dick in my soup. Just wasn't down for that.
Poor Merc pissing your cereal again. I was fine with that. That didn't bother me. Like I said, in Gotham, no, that doesn't bother me. Because I half believe, like Penguin said, that you could look up assassins in the phone book. I half believe that here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fine for a turn of phrase, but I don't literally want a Costco
full of explosives
for criminals. Yeah, right. Nah. With like Muzak and a dude on the intercom talking about the daily specials. No.
Oh, that amused That's bullshit. Me a little bit. I was fine with that.
And then they cap it off with the police raid on the place. The dude's got like the C4 in his pants.
Right, right.
And it's like I'm watching Lethal Weapon. Like Gordon shoots him, he explodes, and Chiklis looks over and goes, "What the hell are you packing?"
Right.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I laughed.
I laughed.
I felt dirty. I felt dirty about it.
I didn't feel dirty at all. I laughed and I moved right on. I was fine. Did you notice the little Dutch?
Felt like I just laughed at Glover going, "I'm getting too old for this shit."
Right, I understand. Did you see the Dutch tilt right after? After the explosion?
Yes.
She fell all 66 for a second?
Yeah. 66 and Batman and Robin.
Right.
Every time I see a Dutch tilt, I just feel like a shark's been jumped somewhere. A fridge has been thrown.
I understand. And the only reason I've gotten over it is Whedon uses them, like, all the time. I mean, there are Dutch tilts in the Avengers movies, for fuck's sake.
There should have been in that last one, but
I mean, they're in there.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, I don't disbelieve you. I mean, yeah, there was a Dutch tilt.
Out there trying to
it's
save
called Sokovia.
Butch and
it was
Selena
called
running
Act
around.
3.
Yeah, I know. Looking up the entire time. Now look, back to an actual show. Butch and Selena running around. I loved the hell of that. I would have watched a good 20 minutes of their little buddy cop thing all day.
I by and large really enjoy Butch.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for him this episode.
Yeah.
Poor bastard lost his hand.
He did. It looked painful. Man, when Penguin makes a decision, that shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
It happens quick, too. Now that they're talking about Butch being programmed, I'm hoping they're bringing it up because we're going to take out the programming part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about done with that.
The show for a minute just kind of never went back to it for a minute, and would only kind of, intermittently allude to it. So
right.
I'm really hoping that they actually do something with that. But they've done that with a number of storylines where they just sort of, oh, this happened, and now we're not going to bring it back up again, even though it was really dumb. And
yeah.
And
the problem is, every time they bring it up, I imagine him doing that little Avril Lavigne jig, and I can't get past it. I was, I had said I was actually kind of excited about the guy that was the, we'll call him Head Piker. I liked that guy. I mean, I like the actor, but he doesn't do anything on this show except just kind of snarl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just snarl and be abusive. I like just fine. I mean, he does okay at being abusive. I was looking forward to that part of him, but that weird lip turn, just that little Elvis looking thing. I wasn't digging that.
Yeah, that was awful. That was awful. I have thoroughly disliked everything that I've seen of the Pikes so far, as I predicted I would. Like, I gave it a shot. I was open-minded. They're awful. The thing that I actually liked the most was that one of them blew up.
It's my favorite part about the Pikes. There are less of them than when the show began. Oh, okay.
Right. That's it. I don't
know. No,
I'll
give it this. I'll take the Pikes if it means I get more Selena, because I actually really enjoyed her and Bridget. They were a lot of fun. That little discussion out back they have, it was a nice quick little introduction to their relationship. And then, like, later their conversation, what's the line? Like, what good's family if you're a slave, and what good's freedom if you're alone? Okay.
That was a good conversation.
It's a good conversation. And
that conversation aside, you got nothing for any of the Pikes or Selena right now. Like,
nah, I'm good. I mean, I'm still digging it a little bit. Plus, I gotta give her this for a homemade costume. Bridget's costume looked pretty great.
It did.
I mean,
I just, I can't understand. I mean, I can, but I'm just waiting for her to burn that faux family of hers to the ground, man.
Yeah, no, I think you're gonna like her a lot more once they've gotten the rest of the Pikes out of the way. Once it's just Bridget and Selena hanging around, you're gonna be happy.
Once I watch her with a flamethrower, like, burn that curled lip to the ground, yes,
you'll be
let's
much
do
better.
That.
Now, to be let's fair, you don't like the bad guy, so at least the show did that correctly.
Well, I mean, right now, I don't like the bad guys that I'm supposed to not like, but I'm not feeling terribly sympathetic toward the bad guy I'm supposed to feel sympathetic for. That's a problem.
Which one?
Bridget.
Oh, no, I fell for it. I bought it. I like her.
I'm not quite there with her yet, because those two dudes are so runtish, I think she could kind of beat the crap out of them anyway.
It doesn't look like it's ever really occurred to her.
I know, and that bothers me. Because that just doesn't ring true. I have two sisters. They're both smaller than me and have tried to beat the crap out of me.
Right.
Just doesn't ring true.
Like, they're siblings. They're fight. That's what you do.
Right. Oh. So, yeah. I'm waiting for the Pikes to become interesting. I mean, so far, like, I kind of just don't... I don't like where Selena's going, because she's, like, given all this... advice to Bridget, but I'm like, Selena, you're being forced to run around and help the Penguin. And before that, you were hanging out with Fish Mooney.
Yeah.
And you did this job because you were like, and Fish said she liked me, right? Oh, sweetie.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
You're in no position to be offering any kind of advice to anyone.
Yeah. But she at least puts up a better front than a lot of these other kids. I mean, yeah, she wants a friend too, and I think she kind of she actually wants to have some kind of figure to report to. She wants some, I don't want to quite say discipline, but whatever it is that parents provide that seems to comfort children, she's missing that.
Well, sure.
And I hate that for her. By the way, in the in the scene where the kid gets blown up, I forgot to say, he's. the kid grabs the C4 and, like, shoves it down the front of his pants and starts running. So that means that Gordon shot him in the dick.
Uh-huh. Well, I would shoot someone in the dick, too, if they started stuffing stuff down their pants and going, robbery!
You just wanted to kick him in the dick. That'd be the biggest problem I have with the Merc warehouse is, you know, come on, what's the, like, what's the theft control like around there?
Right. As best I could tell, their only, like, employee is exactly one kind of oldish dude who's, like, I don't know, haggling?
Right. I kind of, I don't know. If I was running that place, there'd be strip searches for every outgoing customer. Mandatory.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like, it would just be policy. It's like, you know, they let you get away with robbery because they know that you'll come back.
Right. I mean, let's face it, all of their product is free anyway. They stole it. So if they get some money, that's good. They know there's going to be a certain amount of thieving happening. Sure. You know.
I mean, look at your clientele.
Right.
I guess let's... Oh, I just want to say I was annoyed that there was no Alfred and Bruce in this episode.
I know. But
I missed Alfred and Bruce.
I always miss them. That's a standard. So any episode where they have to take time out to do something else, I wish that, you know, it was 10 minutes longer so we could have had a little subplot with them, but I'll survive. They'll be back. Think about it. That's more of them next time.
Maybe. Or it maybe not.
You'll get plenty of Bruce.
We don't know.
You'll get your Pertwee, sir. You'll get your Pertwee.
All right. One thing I hated about this episode.
There have been many things so far that you hated about this episode.
Huh?
There have been many things thus far that you've hated about the episode.
I know. It was not a great episode.
Which was her name, though?
Edwene? Was that her name?
Oh, I liked her.
The old lady?
Yeah.
Liked
her.
No. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think, like, the way Butch describes her as, like, an old lady who lives down, who, like, what was it? She ran some kind of little shop or something.
Runs like an antique shop down the street from her.
Yeah. Like, I've been in enough flea markets and hung around downtown where the hipsters are and everything enough. Not that I'm a hipster, but I've been down those places enough to know that woman right when I saw her. I thought of, like, four different women I've met. I'm like, yep, they got her. they got that type right there. Like, crazy hair, old lady, wears... Yep, that's perfect.
Yep, they cast it. Perfect. They cast it right.
They cast it and created it perfectly.
Right.
But I hated the music they were using. I hated how ridiculous and, like, she acted like she was a psychic suddenly or something. Like, it just seemed real bad.
Nah, like, I disagree, man. There wasn't anything about that scene that was in any way outstanding to me. It was just a good story. Like, it. All they wanted to do was give you the back history of all the families, and I didn't even notice anything you've mentioned. I didn't find it grievous at all. Thought she was fine. I did like that Butch kind of prompts her. You know, Penguin asks about it, and she doesn't want to tell him. And all it takes is Butch kind of clearing her throat, and she goes, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So a very long time ago. And then she drops the five names on us. And it's her that dropped them, right? So it's Elliot, Kane, Crown, Dumas, and Wayne. That's the big thing for me in this episode, is those five names.
Yeah, unfortunately, I want to. I just don't give a shit about the friggin' Order of Dumas. I don't care about the Order of Dumas at all. I don't care about Azrael. I don't care about any of those characters. Like, I hate that they're bringing in the Order of Saint Dumas.
Like, why?
Because I hated it in the comic books. I hated Jean-Paul Valley. I hated, like...
Just because he wasn't Batman or what?
It's one of the most annoying, ridiculous storylines. Like, he's running around, he's got friggin', what was his name? Like, his father's name or whatever.
Nah, I don't remember. I mean, my experience with Jean-Paul Valley is, you know, Nightfall, man. That's it.
I know, but it's just the whole thing. Just him, like, they're in the system and the... doing the whole, like, oh, well, I can just, like, zone out and start drawing things and creating things. And I'm not a part of, I don't know, just the whole mind control cult thing just annoys the shit out of me.
You just don't like mind control cult storylines.
Yeah, and you got the, like, the soldier monks. I don't know, man. There's something about it just bothers me.
I mean, you've never been like we've both talked about, we're not huge fans of the League of Assassins, just not that interested in it, but
right. And doubly so for a League of Assassins that are also monks and came from the Crusades. Shit on that. I got nothing. Nope.
I'm sorry. It's just, you're going to have to deal with it. Because that looks like the main piece of what we're... all right, they dropped the Elliot name on us. So there's Thomas Elliot is at least a confirmed possibility.
I feel like they're going to like try to mix and match and try to like mesh that in, thread that in with the Court of Owls. And I just really don't want that. Because that would just ruin the one good secret society Gotham has.
Well, hey, the Court of Owls is
badass.
It is. But the producers keep insisting that, yes, they are absolutely going to use the Court of Owls, and not right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very adamant about, the way he put it in one interview was, we have to keep some cards kind of close to the chest. Because if you're looking at the series overall, like, they got to have something for season 3 at least.
Now, I assume what they're doing, though, is that they'll, like, because at the end of this episode, like, the guy who is part of he was like one of the soldier monks or whatever, and shows up at Theo's apartment, and he's like, you have surrounded yourself in luxury. And he's like, oh yes, I mean, I have to, because right. I have to play the part or whatever.
Right.
But it totally seems like Galavan's whole plan is to like bring back order, like bring back prestige to his family's name and take revenge on Gotham and the Waynes. So I'm going to guess the order, like the soldier monk, the Order of Saint Dumas will wind up become like go against Galavan, because he'll have like, I think he's going to like be outed as coming against or going against their basic theology or whatever for revenge.
You think that's where it's heading? I mean, yeah, I could dig that.
Yeah.
That he's going to get, basically he's going to get there, get positioned under the idea that he was going to somehow further their agenda, and then when the time comes, he's going to turn it in for revenge, right?
Yeah, and I think they'll call forth like their Azrael or whatever to.
So importantly, then you think that Galavan is not looking to be Azrael?
I think he might be Azrael, but he'll be usurped. His throne will be usurped when he's found to be as corrupt as he is.
Hmm.
I think that might be a possibility. And this is the best I can come up with not caring about him or his storyline right now, because I was really interested about Galavan for a second, like the actor's killing it.
Yeah, and doing a great job.
I'm really trying to keep my mind open, because like I really want to see what like I like him so far. He's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of everything else, I don't think you have much of a choice, buddy.
Well, I know.
It looks like that's what they're doing, so you're going to have to muster some optimism somewhere.
I'm trying.
Don't use all your optimism on the Supergirl premiere.
Oh.
Save some.
Why'd you have to make me sad, Jason?
Oh, come on. It's going to be good. Either it'll be great and we'll be excited, or it'll be kind of not great and we'll have a bunch of stuff to bitch about. And we love doing that. So either way, I see it as a win-win, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. So...
Oh, and yeah, speaking of Galavan, though, when they get back, it's Ron Rifkin. I had to look his name up. It's one of those actors whose face I know, but never have been able to remember his name. But I like that guy.
The guy that plays Galavan?
No, the guy that Father Creel at the end of the episode.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
I've always liked that guy, so I'm hoping he's going to be making further appearances and possibly being creepy and presumably poor.
He knows, like, the dude that plays Galavan, though, like, who...
James
like,
Frank.
Yeah, James Frank, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see him, I keep thinking that he reminds me of someone, and I can't figure it out. And I finally realize that it's Darren from Bewitched. Like, the first one. Like, Dick...
Yeah, original Darren.
Sergeant? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, original Darren, yeah. Dick Sergeant, I guess?
Yeah. I could see it. If they ever do the if they ever do the inevitable gritty reboot of Bewitched, we'll try to pitch our hand in that James Frayne gets to play him.
Right.
A matter of time for someone.
It looks like he's like, you know, Darren in the Dick Wolf rendition of Bewitched.
Right, right.
Oh god. Bewitched undercover.
Oh god.
Anyway,
now with the five names that I was so excited about, we had to look this one up too, because we'd forgotten where Crown showed up. But
Yeah, I forgot. I feel ashamed.
I knew it was
a Batman fan.
I know. I knew it was in there, and specifically, I really loved the Court of Owls story too. So I, you know, hey, I have a finite memory, and Crown didn't make it in, but we found it in time, and Crown is the Crowns and the Cobbs are the ones that come together and create a middle ground of between the supposed, you know, poor and rich. It was like Lady and the Tramp story.
Poor and darkness. Yeah. Poor and rich, light and darkness.
Right.
Gray sun.
Gray sun, yeah. So there's your important part.
I remembered
Cobb. Yeah, yeah. I'd forgotten the whole Crown lady. But
I think I remembered Cobb because I kind of hoped that somehow in there, Jane Cobb and Firefly was related to Dick Grayson.
Oh, is that what you dream about?
Yep.
That's what you dream about. Hey, I can't blame you. I told you the other day I had a dream that I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and for some reason at the end on the stinger they introduced Squirrel Girl.
Oh, that would be amazing too.
It would be terrible, but in my dream I was so excited.
No, that'd be amazing because we'd be like, well, we found out how we're going to defeat Thanos.
Right.
We've got
Squirrel Girl. No problems.
Like the only character other than Deadpool who's ever beaten him.
What's her little squirrel's name? Chippy or something?
I don't remember.
It's something intolerably cutesy. I forget.
So what else we got on Gotham 205?
I had one note that was just, where I just put red shirt down part one. We've lost our first ensign.
Yeah.
And in the wake of it, Barnes gives a rousing, like by the end of Barnes' speech, I would have grabbed a gun and followed him. I'll go anywhere that man goes. Who's dying next? Get behind me.
Yeah, they might actually go a little less down the Captain Ahab trail than I thought they would. Because they pulled back heavily on it this episode.
Yeah, and you got to wonder how long, like, is it just one more? Is it just one more kid that has to die before he questions everything?
Yeah, they all have to die.
They're all going eventually.
Barnes is just like, no, I'm going back to the academy. I'm getting five other people. We're going to avenge these poor bastards.
Right. He's going to double down.
You sure that's wise, sir? Yes.
We're losing ensigns left and right. What do we do? Head back to the academy. Get more.
There are more lives to cull.
Right.
What do you think, Lance? Laurel. Okay. Oh. I think that does it for this episode.
Yeah. I wasn't as down on it as you were. I enjoyed it. There was enough.
I wasn't that down on it either. It was just.
You
was
sound pretty damn down on it, but.
I know. It was just I didn't like very much of it.
So that's. I think we've circumlocuted back to you were down on it.
I'm trying to take as much sting out of that as I can.
You can't. You can't. Just live with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't anything like, you know, stabby stabby, but.
And as we discussed, short of stabby stabby, that was a fucking amazing episode.
Right. I agree.
Like, that was the high bar by a long shot right now.
One thing that actually made me laugh a lot in this episode was
Penguin's
Theo
hair?
Being annoyed.
Oh.
Huh?
Penguin's hair?
No. No. It was Theo talking to Tigress about Barbara.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, she sleeps a lot, and I think she's crazy.
Right.
I don't know why, but that was really funny to me, that she sleeps a lot.
I enjoyed Tigress a lot more in this episode in particular, just because like she's just messing with Butch, and Butch is just, just like, I like Butch's swag. She's staring him down just to mess with him. All he's doing is just staring right back and smirking. Like, yeah, yeah, I could give you what you need, girl. You can hear him saying that. Saying it with those big old eyes.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know if he can now.
Right. He has to get permission from Penguin.
Right.
Before he lays pipe.
He's going to need a hand.
I think I'd be afraid with that one.
Yeah.
Tigress is a little crazy.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, after watching this one, another thing they've used a few times, and it's a standard for her character. I'm not knocking it. I just, at this point, if I were Jim, every time I walked onto a crime scene, I would stop and look at all the fire escapes and see if Selina was watching.
Yep.
Just take those 2 seconds out of your day, man, turn over your shoulder and glance up.
Well, Well, for a couple reasons. Two, one, to make sure that Selena's not hanging around on a fire escape. Two, to make sure that Tigress isn't hanging out there with the sniper rifle
right
at your head.
That girl can shoot.
And three, to make sure that freaking Amygdala isn't, like, hanging out on a fire escape behind you about to pounce down on you.
Right. And if we've learned anything, don't follow Barbara anywhere.
Don't follow Barbara anywhere.
Right.
That is
not a good idea. But couldn't you see, like, just Jim walking onto a crime scene and right before he starts to actually, you know, break his way in there and start pulling guns and everything, just stop. Selena, I know you're here. Come down. Sorry, Jim. Mm. Selena, go home. It's dangerous.
Okay. How'd you know I was here?
I just assumed now. You go home.
Yeah.
I don't have a home. Oh.
I can't worry about you, because if I worry about you, then I won't do well on my mission. And then if I don't do well on my mission, I'll have to get drunk and go back to Wayne Manor.
And apologize to that kid.
Tell a very disappointed Bruce Wayne that I screwed up again.
You're right. That I couldn't find his parents' killers, that now I've gotten his little quasi-girlfriend endangered again.
And honestly, I don't know which one I'm more afraid of. The butler or the little kid?
Yes.
So,
I mean, and
there's fire in those eyes.
Yeah, like, you can tell the kid, once he has the physical stature to do so, is going to be damned ready to take physical action. But as is, you know, he's got that such a sincere look. Like, I don't know if I'd rather get my ass beat by Alfred or just have that kid look at me disappointed. I think I'd rather take a few hits from Alfred.
Poor Gordon, man. He's got all that on him, and now, like, his captain is over here, like, jerking off to Purple Hearts and shit. Like, what the hell, man?
I don't know.
Like, sir, what are you doing? They died in the line of duty. What? Sorry.
All right, I'm done. I'm good. We've covered.
What did you guys think of this episode of Gotham? Let us know. We'll talk about it in one of next week's episodes.
Were you as sad as Dave?
Were you as sad as Dave? Or me? Whatever. Third person. It's okay.
You get one of those.
We are DC On Screen. We are a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. If you would like, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher or every episode at DCOnScreen.com. If you'd like a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you can go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast or MCUcast.com. We'll be coming up with episode reviews for The Flash and Arrow, and as well, we've got a news episode coming up later on in the week too. And then next week we're going to start dropping Supergirl reviews as well. So
it's happening this Monday, folks.
It's happening.
She's a coming.
I said it's happening, not it's fappening.
Choose your words better, bud.
All right, we're gonna go away now. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen.